Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Peyton Jones guides us through the Old Testament book of Leviticus. Now to Pastor Peyton.
Leviticus chapter 25 today on Through the Word. The previous chapter walked us through what to do with the days of our week, but now we're going to hear about what to do with the months of the year and even the years themselves. Chapter 24 told us about different feasts that occurred in different months, but now we're going to hear about years themselves that were years of celebration, namely the Sabbath year and the year of Jubilee. Verses 1 through 7 are all about the Sabbath year, celebrated every seventh year, and verses 8 through 22 are about the year of Jubilee, celebrated every seven cycles of 7 years. If you're confused, that's every 49 years. Every 50th year was the year of Jubilee. We get our term Jubilee Anniversary from it. Let's jump in and study Leviticus chapter 25. In verses 2 we read, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you, the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years you shall sow your field, and for 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its fruit. But in the seventh year, there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord." In other words, you had to let the land rest. Now, this is the methodology that modern horticulturalists use to yield the most fruit for any land. It's called crop rotation, and although it's counterintuitive, it bears a lot more fruit. Those who practice it know that it produces the best results, allowing the nutrients in the soil to replenish. It does for the land what a Sabbath for the soul does for us. For those who are worried about the land not producing enough, in verse 18 through 22, God promises supernatural help. He tells him that in the year leading up to the year of Jubilee, he'll bless the land so that it will produce 3 years' worth of crops, so they don't even have to worry. Verse 23 through 34 is the next section and has to do with redeeming property. Verse 10 tells us, "And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all of its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you when each of you shall return the property and each of you shall return to his clan. That 50th year shall be a jubilee for you, and in it you shall neither sow nor reap, where it grows of itself, nor gather grapes from the undressed vines, for it is a jubilee, and it shall be holy to you." Now, verse 23 goes on to explain all of the rules about what gets returned to you. You see, in those days, when you couldn't pay your debt, you could leverage your land to the person that you owed money to. Therefore, you could pay your debt off indirectly by allowing the person you owed money to make a profit as they use your land. Well, what if you didn't have land? Well, you could become a hired hand or a servant. In the Bible, in our translation, it's called slaves. But it's not slavery like we had in America a couple hundred years ago. Many people like to say that the Bible supports slavery, but not as we understand it. Instead of just throwing up your hands and declaring bankruptcy, this was a way of paying off your debt. In fact, it was a way of working off the debt that you owed to someone else. The person you owed the debt to, however, had to house you and feed you and treat you like a family member. Verse 39 says, "If your brother becomes poor beside you and sells himself to you, you shall not make him serve as a slave. He shall be with you as a hired servant and as a sojourner. He shall serve with you until the year of Jubilee. Then he shall go out from you, he and his children with him, and go back to his own clan and return to the possession of his fathers." Verse 46 tells them, "They are God's slaves, therefore they must not rule over anyone working off a debt ruthlessly." You can only imagine how excited someone was in that 50th year. It meant freedom. It meant debt being canceled. It meant their property gets returned to them. "Hey, Ishbi Binab, you've been a slave for 32 years, and now the year of Jubilee's here. You're free, baby. What are you going to do?" You know he's going to say, "I'm going to Disneyland." Here's how it worked. Let's say you owed a big debt and you needed to work it off. Well, you'd have 49 years to do it if you just celebrated the year of Jubilee. You're pretty much staring down the barrel of the rest of your life. Guess you knew what your life was then. You were going to be a servant. But what if the year of Jubilee was only 2 years off? Well, the guy you owed money to could work out whether that method of payment was really worth it. He might say, "No, continue to pay me the money from your produce or from your wages little by little." This was just one option. In fact, to this day, verse 36 is in practice with the Jewish community where they don't charge each other interest. You want to understand why Jewish people have thrived and done so well in the world? Because God put a check on them not to exploit one another. They're not allowed to charge each other interest. They paid good attention to Leviticus chapter 25, and it has served them well. They'll charge a Gentile interest, in fact, lots and lots of it. But for each other, well, there's a special bond that was caused by God saying, "You are my servants, deal with each other kindly." After verses 35 through 46, give some rules for dignity. Verses 47 to the end of the chapter have to do with rescuing them from a foreigner. You see, you may have noticed already that it was important that the land go back to the right people. The reason for that is that all the tribes inherited set portions of land. Remember that the land was a part of the covenant promise God had gave to them way, way back with Abraham. God didn't want any of his tribes to be dispossessed or homeless. Again, running through this chapter is the theme of dignity and fairness, treating people, like the Golden Rule says, as you would like to be treated. Life can bite our ankles like a dog from time to time, and when we fall on rough times, it's good to know that our brothers have our back. God hardwires this into the community of Israel. The year of Jubilee was a reminder that God was their new master, he had set them free, and he had canceled all of their debt. Therefore, all throughout the passage, God has to insist over and over that they treat each other like people that have been set free, even if they need to go into work detail to work off their debt. Chapter 26:13 says, "I have broken the bars of your yoke and made you to walk erect." That means to stand tall, walk proud, stand upright, like men. They'd never known dignity under Pharaoh, but now God says, "I want you to walk with your head held high." God puts a check and balance on society to tell them, even if you have to work for each other, it will be different here. You can use this system of debt to help work off your debt, but I won't let it harm you. There's a better place and a better way to work whenever we're in God's house. Milton, in his Paradise Lost, says, quoting Satan, "I'd rather be a king in hell than a slave in heaven." Well, he can keep that. The year of Jubilee has come for us. Christ canceled all debts and we are free. Like David, we say, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than a king in palaces far away from him." After all, like the Apostle Paul found, being a bond slave is a badge of honor for us. God is our new master, but what a great master he is. Incidentally, in other places in the law, there's talk of being a bondslave, which is different than a slave. A bondslave after the year of Jubilee when he was set free or had worked off his debt might decide that it was so good living with that family, being a part of that household, that he never wanted to leave. Therefore, there was a ceremony in which he would nail his ear, ouch, to the door, and he would say he was a bondslave. That meant for life. Paul calls himself that, the bond slave of Jesus. Serving him is so good that Paul says, "I'll do this until I breathe my very last breath." And guess what? He did. Read Leviticus chapter 25 today, and as you do, be glad that you have a new master.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.